Ezekiel 26 prophecies against the north. Having disposed of the nations to the east and west of Israel in one short chapter, Ezekiel now directs the Spirit's words towards Tyre and Zidon in the north. With the exception of the last six verses of chapter 28, which are devoted to Zidon, no less than three chapters are devoted to pronouncing God's impending judgments on Tyre. The three chapters against the north consist of five separate prophecies, each beginning with, "The word of the Lord came unto me." The prophecy of Tyre's destruction. Tyre made shipwreck, a lamentation. The prophecy against the prince of Tyre, a lamentation for the king of Tyre, a prophecy against Zidon. Unlike the nations to the east and west, which we have already considered, Tyre generally maintained a friendly relationship with Israel. There is, to my knowledge, no clear statement regarding the origin of the people of Tyre, although the origin of Zidon from Canaan indicates the Canaanite origin of the Phoenician peoples. At the time of the conquest of the land by Joshua, when it came to be one of the borders of the tribe of Asher, Tyre was already a fortress, but it seems not to have troubled Israel. In the time of David, Tyre was very friendly towards Israel, Hiram, king of Tyre, supplying him with materials and labor for building. He also provided David with materials in preparation for the construction of the temple and subsequently cooperated with Solomon in the actual building of it. And in other building activities too. By the time of Solomon, Tyre was a sea trading power and supervised the training of Solomon's navy. Their combined fleet sent ships to Tarshish. In spite of this close cooperation with Israel, there is no evidence that Tyre became attracted to the truth. Assuming that the term Zidonians is a general term for the Phoenicians of Tyre and Zidon, Baal was the accepted deity of this northern kingdom in the time of Ahab of Israel. Getting rich as a result of its commerce and industry, especially production of metal, glass, and purple dye, Tyre became arrogant and morally decadent. Now, this was the situation at the time of Ezekiel. The prophecy consists of four announcements by the Almighty. One, the reason for the judgment. The prophecy was given in the 11th year of Jehoiachin's captivity, which was the same year, the 11th of Zedekiah, that Jerusalem fell. The month is not given, but since Tyre says against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, it would appear that Jerusalem had already fallen. It would thus have been the fourth month or later. Tyre was selfishly rejoicing at Jerusalem's downfall and anticipating the extra trade that this would bring. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. But Tyre too would receive judgment, as Isaiah and Jeremiah had both previously warned. This section is a general statement of coming judgment. It should be carefully noted that the Spirit warned of many nations and coming against Tyre, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. Like the waves of the sea, the nations would come against Tyre, one after the other, until she was destroyed, even to the extent of being scraped bare to the rock, eventually becoming a place where fishermen spread their nets. Two, the instrument of judgment. As in Jeremiah, the principal instrument of judgment was to be Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and lay siege against Tyre. There can be little doubt that the Tyre referred to included the island fortress. Preparatory to the conquest of Tyre, Nebuchadnezzar would slay thy daughters in the field, which is thought by most to refer to those towns on the mainland that accepted Tyre's authority. Tyre would be forced to submit to the power of Babylon, and the people subjected to slaughter and humiliation. The reference to the strong garrisons being cast down to the ground is interesting. The word is best translated pillars, as in the RV and RSV. There were two famous pillars in the temple of Melkarth, that is the name by which the Philistines knew Baal, at Tyre. And these may well be the pillars to which the prophet refers. These could properly be described as the pillars of Tyre's strength, that is, of their god, a strength that would be powerless before the Babylonian instrument in the hand of the God of Israel. The chapter proceeds to say of Tyre, thou shalt be built no more. But as we shall observe when we consider the historical fulfillment of the prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar did not bring about this degree of destruction of Tyre. We've already seen that many nations would come against Tyre, not Babylon only. So we note with interest the change of person from he to they in verse 12. Up to the end of verse 11, Nebuchadnezzar is the instrument of judgment. He shall slay thy people. But verse 12 commences, and they. In other words, the complete desolation of Tyre, in which she would be scraped bare to be built no more, would be left to successive waves of the Sea of Nations. Three, the effect of Tyre's fall on the isles. The fall of Tyre would have tremendous repercussions among the nations with whom she carried on her trade. The isles, or coastlands, RSV, have reference to the Phoenician colonies of the Mediterranean and her trading friends beyond. The trading princes with whom Tyre had dealings and who in consequence were clothed with the finery brought by Tyrian trade would become clothed instead with terrors. The fall of Tyre would be a day of trouble for the nations, producing widespread economic trembling and dismay. Four, the finality of Tyre's fall. The last three verses provide a summary of the overthrow of Tyre. The city would become desolate and covered by the sea. And Tyre would join all the great cities of the ancient world and be cast down in the pit. And the finality of Tyre's overthrow is very plainly stated. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again. Nebuchadnezzar came as it was written of him and besieged Tyre for 13 years before he conquered it. The frequent explanation that he destroyed mainland Tyre but could not take the island city is not universally accepted, and to this writer appears doubtful. And here there's a footnote. According to the writings of Josephus, referred to above, after the 13 years siege, Tyre surrendered. Nebuchadnezzar replaced the defeated king, Ithobaal II, or Itobaal, or Ethbaal, by King Baal, who ruled together with a Babylonian minister for 10 years. After the end of Baal's reign, a series of magistrates had the jurisdiction over Tyre for a period of about 8 years, and the next ruler was King Marbulus from Babylon itself, probably a Tyrian whom Nebuchadnezzar allowed to return. It is difficult to see how anything other than the submission by both mainland and insular Tyre could have produced that state of affairs. The known historical facts lead to the conclusion that the Tyrian government was subjected to the Chaldeans. To continue then, and the writer to the right, the idea that the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the mainland but not the island is not universally accepted, and to this writer appears doubtful. And the evidence available would suggest that the whole of Tyre was taken after this long siege, although it may be safely assumed that the mainland city suffered most at the hand of Babylon's king. And here there's another footnote. It has been suggested that the statement that Nebuchadnezzar received no wages for his service, this is in Ezekiel 29, for his service against Tyre, coupled with the known difficulty experienced by Alexander the Great in taking the city, is strong evidence that Nebuchadnezzar failed to capture the island fortress. This is far from convincing. Alexander, with admitted difficulty, took the siege city after a siege of only 7 months. By contrast, Nebuchadnezzar was occupied for 13 years in the conquest of Tyre. We cannot imagine that it took the experienced Babylonian armies 13 years to subdue mainland Tyre. The length of time involved demands that the record be concerned with the island city also, by one of those unusual coincidences which established the veracity of the biblical account. The length of the siege would also explain why Nebuchadnezzar had no wages. The Tyrians, being a maritime power, would have had plenty of time during the 13 years of the siege to remove their wealth to safer havens. M. Rollin, in his Ancient History, writes, "When the Tyrians saw themselves closely attacked, the nobles conveyed themselves and their richest effects on shipboard and retired to other islands." Although Tyre never fully recovered from the blow inflicted by Nebuchadnezzar at the time of Israel's return, Tyre had recovered sufficiently to help her with the supply of materials for the reconstruction of the city and temple. It was again active in trade. This is sufficient to show that it was not Nebuchadnezzar who brought Tyre to the point where she was destroyed to be built no more. He was but the first of the many nations destined to come up against Tyre, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. The next wave of the sea, a wave of great significance, to come against Tyre was Alexander the Great in 332 BC. It's well known how he literally scraped the ruins of mainland Tyre into the sea to make a causeway to the island city, which in turn was taken and destroyed. This work of Alexander was of phenomenal proportions. The causeway was some 60 meters wide and extended over half a kilometer to the island city. It resulted in the formation of a peninsula with the insular city of Tyre forming its western tip. Again, as a footnote, this conquest of Tyre by Alexander is also the subject of a detailed prophecy in Zechariah 9. Zechariah, of course, wrote long after the siege of Tyre by Nebuchadnezzar. He is principally concerned with the island city. Tyre built herself a stronghold. Hebrew is Matzor, which means a strong, rocky fortress. It is of this stronghold that Zechariah says, the Lord will cast her out and he will smite her power in the sea and she shall be devoured with fire. There can be no doubt that this refers primarily to the work of Alexander, who, having massacred some 8,000 of the city's inhabitants, set fire to the houses. The island city was subsequently rebuilt, only to be subjected to further siege in 315 BC by Antigonus of Syria, one of Alexander's successors. Came under Roman domination when Pompey occupied Phoenicia in 64 BC, essentially a Greek city of some considerable size. It was in New Testament times, a prosperous seaport. It was a city visited by Jesus. The waves continued to beat against Tyre. Caliph Omar, in AD 638, the Crusaders took it after a 5-month siege in AD 1124. Egypt took it and drove out the so-called Christians in AD 1291. But it was the Saracens who finally destroyed Tyre at the beginning of the 14th century, leaving it in ruins that can still be seen today. Ezekiel's prophecy has been fulfilled. Tyre has perished forever. But as with those nations on the east and west of Israel, there are prophecies which, in speaking of the events of the latter days, demand the presence of a power spoken of in the scriptures as Tyre.